This is the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Adam to 21000.
All right, let's talk.
Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Adam Gold.
So as evidenced by the fact that there wasn't anything on last night, today was going to be a normal day.
There it is.
Is it official?
The agreement.
Hold on.
Panthers.com.
Hold on. We're going to get it. Today was going to be a normal day. Alec and I were going to mock the silliness of some of the things we did see on TV on a daily basis. I actually saw last night on NBA Countdown this question. Is Steph Curry set to have his best NBA season ever? Yes. We don't even have to say why, just yes. We would talk about that. We would speculate on where Odell Beckham Jr. was going to take his talents. We could ponder the return of Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers to the lineup. We'd probably riff on soups or stews or chilies or why it's preposterous that I don't instinctively know the artist of a given pop song of the 1990s. All of that is normal fodder for the program on a daily basis. But not today. Today, we're going to be hijacked by the fact that the Carolina Panthers have just signed Cam Jarrell Newton to be their quarterback. Are you joking?
I can't believe it. I really can't believe it. I can believe it, actually. I've been calling David Tepper a moth for a long time. A moth to light. This is what he does. Shiny object. Things aren't going well. Let's jump to the next thing that I think could be good, but it hasn't been good yet so far in any of the moves.
What are we doing?
I don't know.
All right. I have some thoughts on Cam. We knew this was possible probably about an hour ago was when we saw the news that he was going. I think John Alexander of the Charlotte Observer reported it first. I think John said that he was scheduled to meet with the Brain Trust. And then Joe Person of The Athletic a few, 20 minutes ago said that it was agreement was expected this afternoon. And it is now official. They have signed an agreement. It is Cam Newton, QB1, back in the building on Mint Street. All right? It's official now. Background. I haven't always liked Cam. I didn't want them to draft Cam in 2011. People will remember this who have been listening to whatever I spew out on the radio for years and years. I was not a fan of Cam Newton, the NFL quarterback. I was wrong. Flat out wrong. I hated the way it ended here for Cam. Though I don't know the inner workings of all of it. I don't know if Cam refused to play without a contract extension because he was in the final year of his deal. Would he have played on the final year of his contract, which would have paid him $19 million, just short of $19 million. So I don't know what if Cam said, I'm not coming back unless you extend me. And it wasn't wise to extend a quarterback that might be broken because we didn't know. So I got if that was the case. But also, the alternative for Cam wasn't any better. It was worse than playing on the final year of that contract. Because what did he play for in New England? The veteran minimum. Played for like nothing. Yeah, $2 million guarantee, I think. It was ridiculously low. So, or did David Tepper just decide, as Alec likes to say, moth to light, that it was simply time to start fresh. So they went out and got Teddy Bridgewater. Right? Because this was the choice. Newton could play on the final year of his contract or we're moving on. So they chose to move on even before they let Cam Newton go. They signed Teddy Bridgewater because they knew they were releasing Cam Newton. So the truth is that had Newton been willing to play on the final year of his contract, and again, I don't know that he wasn't, that would have been the best for all parties involved. That would have been the best possible scenario for all parties involved. Cam was a popular player here. He was a great teammate. He was a warrior. He gave himself for the team all the time. Not to mention what Cam has done in the community in Charlotte. So with all of that, that's what should have happened probably with Cam. And when he was healthy, holy cow, Cam was a game changer. He was the brightest light on the field all the time. He was a walking problem for defense. But the last time we saw that was 2018, until TJ Watt sacked him on that Thursday night game in Pittsburgh. The Panthers got crushed. Newton was never the same, and we haven't seen a healthy Cam Newton since. We haven't. I don't get it, what we're doing here. I don't. From a selfish perspective, Alec, oh, I love it. Cam Newton?
Oh, yeah.
For all the people who think, oh, man, North Carolina, you guys could talk college basketball every day. Nah. You could talk Cam Newton every day. Every stinking day you can talk to Cam Newton. One of the most polarizing players in the last 20 years in the NFL. I mean, Cam was a different quarterback. He was a great football player. And he became a really good passer, a pocket passer. He was fine in the pocket. He had his mechanical issues. But Cam, when he was healthy, gosh, Cam was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
I'm just watching my timeline on Twitter right now.
Oh, it's...
And it's being universally applauded. Like, everyone is like, let's go. Let's effing go.
I know.
Right?
Does it look like the wheel in Price is Right?
Yes.
The Showcase Showdown?
It is intriguing. I guess it is exciting. It is sort of fun in a way. And I do think that from a playing perspective only, there's really nothing to lose if you're just looking strictly at the field level stuff. I do think it's kind of weird that they went after Matt Barkley already, and now they're going after Cam Newton. Like, that's kind of weird. But do I think there's a major drop-off? Do I think there's a drastic change in the win total, whether it's Cam Newton, PJ Walker, mm-hmm. Matt Barkley, or Mike Morgan, whatever the dude's name is on the practice squad? No.
Stacy Morgan.
I don't.
Tracy Morgan.
Yeah. No,
there
I don't.
No Stacy Morgan.
So let's just get that part out of the way. Like, this is not really about Cam Newton, the player, for me.
You know what this says, though? This is the thing that jumped out at me. As I'm preparing all of these things, I'm like, I think this says so many things about this organization that are 100% unflattering.
Yes.
There's nothing good about this from a Carolina Panthers organizational standpoint. Cam is not coming back here to watch PJ Walker play.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Forget about Matt Barkley, which begs this question. They signed Matt Barkley yesterday, right? Right? Yes. Did I get this wrong?
Yeah.
Yesterday they signed him.
Yes.
They didn't think about Cam Newton yesterday?
Right, exactly.
Could have avoided. That's one thing. Okay? So he's not coming back here to watch PJ Walker play for the next month. He's not here to wear a baseball cap when Sam Darnold returns. So that means Darnold has no future here. Like, that's it. Meanwhile, they've got a $19 million cap hit on Darnold for next year. Gosh, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are they doing?
That's the thing. David Tepper don't care.
Does anybody have a plan on Mint Street?
No, they don't. They're just squirrel, squirrel,
they are
squirrel.
Squirrel.
That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. It is concerning. It is concerning. At some point, you got to lay in the bed you made. How many times do I got to say this?
You can't change the sheets every day? What if you have unlimited sheets, Alec? By the way, on the low, very few things better.
Freshly washed seats.
Oh my gosh.
It's like a new pair of socks.
Who sleeps better on freshly washed seats?
No, it is very concerning. This is
put that in the best of.
This is somewhat of an equivalent to, like, I've gone back to the Brian St. Pierre what's his name? Notre Dame kid? Jimmy Clausen era,
yeah.
Tony Pike was around. Jimmy Clausen gets hurt.
They should have signed Tony Pike.
Here's this guy that's been around in the building, in the meetings, going to practice, knows the guys, knows the plays, knows the system, knows the coaching staff. Nah, let's go get this other guy. I mean, that's what's happening. PJ Walker, Mike Morgan, James Morgan, whatever he is, they've been around here. I mean, what's it say about them? Like, all these people.
Hold on.
All these people who were telling me, give me P.J. Walker, give me. Hey, they just told you what they think about P.J. Walker.
We're going to go see if Cam Newton can throw a football down the field.
Yes, if he can throw the football, we will take him over you, who has been here this whole time.
They trashed Cam Newton, and now they are buying him at the thrift store. They donated him to charity. And now they are buying him at the thrift store.
It reeks of desperation. I'd like to hear people's best relationship analogy.
Oh my,
for this today
is so going back to your ex.
This feels a lot like, man, the sex was good, but we forgot about all those little pet peeves we couldn't get past. Doesn't turn the lights off. Puts the dishes in the sink instead of in the dishwasher.
Well, you don't rinse the dishes off before you put them in the dishwasher. Right? Come on, just rinse them off.
Right. Leaves their stuff all over the place. I mean, that's what it feels like.
Toothpaste cap off.
Yeah.
Please, just put the cap
Squeezes
on.
Squeezes the toothpaste from the middle.
We all do that.
No, we don't. We squeeze from the bottom.
I squeeze from the middle, and then you eventually just push it all up. Look, is Cam Newton better than P.J. Walker? I don't know. We're joined by almost Duke head coach John Shire. I don't even know how to refer to you now. I don't know. I hate coach in waiting stuff. Is almost head coach okay?
You know, I don't even know myself. So whatever you want to go with for the time being, I'm probably good with. I may take that back, you know, whatever you call me next, but I do know it's been a good problem to have.
No, there's no question about that. Do people react differently to you now when you go into gyms?
Well, I think they're always asking me where Coach K is. You know, I think that's the first thing. But they've done that anytime I've gone in a gym before. But you know, I've actually been it's been great to just see the response this summer and going out on the road, and it's been a really positive response. You're happy the recruiting class we put together, and it's been a fun challenge to figure all this out. So the reception has been really good, and want to continue to earn that and make sure it stays that way.
In years past, and you've been on the road recruiting for a long time, but in years past, you're always recruiting for, Coach, you know, K's going to be the guy. He's going to be the leader. All that. How has it changed anything that you do or say or how you, you know, present the program over the last, say, 3-4 months?
Well, I think naturally the question I probably get asked the most is, what are you going to do differently or what are you going to change? And, you know, first of all, our program, I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe in what we're doing, you know, right? Mm-hmm. But naturally I tell people, and Coach and I have talked about this, there's things naturally that are going to be different. I can't tell you what, because I need to follow my instincts as I get in it. This is something I would do, as opposed to thinking about what coach would do. And, you know, your job as an assistant coach is to get a feel and to follow the instincts of your head coach. And so that's something I've really done. And I would like to think at a high level for 8 years, but now it's a matter of what are your instincts to the fullest. And, you know, I've told people my vision as much as possible, but it also boils down to the trust that in real time I'm going to make the decisions that are best for our program, whether that's on or off the court.
John Shire is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. I saw the video with you and Paolo Banchero. Nice T-shirt, by the way. Are you still wearing it?
Yeah, I'm wearing it right now, actually. So, and no, I don't have one for you. If that's
No. I don't. No, that's honestly, I'm way too old to wear that T-shirt. I mean, I'm to be completely honest. You're still a very young man. But do you remember your first magazine cover?
I do. Yeah, it was. I was on this small magazine in high school, which I thought was pretty cool. But probably the thing I'll never forget is when I woke up one morning to about 50 text messages, and I was on the cover of Sports Illustrated after we won the national championship. And that was a pretty special moment and something that I'll, you know, really just always cherish.
Just for some people who don't know, Paulo was on the cover of Slam magazine, and you did a video that the Duke social media team, which is absolutely awesome, you did a video unveiling the T-shirt with the magazine cover on it for Paulo, FaceTimed his family. It was a great video. I could tell the relationship that you have with Paulo, and it was just really cool. We all know that, and this is what I'm not allowed to say. This is Coach K's last season. We are calling it his senior season. How is it more normal than people might believe?
Well, it's more normal because we don't talk about it being his last season. You know, that's not something. You made me say that word. I was trying not to say it. You set me up.
Oh, that's not true.
It's not something that we talk about as a team or as a staff. I mean, we just talk about how to get better every single day and how to win basketball games. So I guess, you know, the noise that comes with this season or any season, we're used to blocking things out and just focusing on the task at hand. So it's not really any different in that regard.
John Shire is with us here on the Adam Gold Show. He mentioned being closer to this team than he has been. And I'm not saying any other team, but he talked about being close because there are so many things that pull you away, especially when you're involved in so many different things as coach has been, especially over the last, say, 10 or 15 years. Is that a potential benefit to this team?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think, look, recruiting does take up time. Planning the future of a program takes up time. And, you know, he's had a lot of things on his plate for, you know, you look at the last 10 or 15 years, whether it's USA basketball or other obligations, and he just really zoned in, you know, with this team. And I think the connections, the relationships, everything has just been at a really high level. And I think we'll continue to we'll reap the rewards of that, especially as we get into later in the season.
All right, about this team, is it fair to have an outside linebacker playing point guard? Is Trevor Keels really 18? Have we cut him open and counted the rings?
I'm telling you, he's got such a unique feel for the game. And, you know, really with his people of NBA, whether it be scouts or NBA front office, that have asked me or our staff, you know, who would you compare him to? There's really not anyone quite like him. And, you know, you think about the size, like you mentioned, the strength, but also the skill. And then I would add the feel. He makes for a really unique player. And on top of it, he's definitely not afraid of the bright lights. Mm-mm. And, you know, being 19 years old and playing in Madison Square Garden. So that doesn't hurt either.
Having played with Jeremy Roach back in high school, how has that maybe helped the transition and enhanced even the chemistry that they seem to have on the court?
You know what, Adam, for us, we're always trying to speed up the process of getting to know each other and playing together as a team because it's also new. So that dynamic has been really helpful for us. You know, there's a comfort level there with knowing how to play off one another. You saw Trevor had the ball in his hands a lot, initiating offense and playing point guard. And I really think that started and gives, you know, give Glenn Ferrello, their high school coach, a lot of credit with how he played them is really how we're trying to play them this year. So it's been seamless, that transition. And I'm trying to think of a jab I can throw Coach Ferrello's way, but, you know, really he did a heck of a job, and we're fortunate, you know, that both of them were ready to play right away in college.
And it was fun to watch him. What did you learn about the team in the game against Kentucky?
I think we learned that, look, I mean, despite our age or our youth, we're not afraid. I mean, you know, similar to some of these teams we've had in the past, there's a belief and confidence there when we walk on the floor that we can be really good. I mean, I think we can be right there with anybody. We have a lot to work on. you know, our defensive habits, the continuation of our offense, where knowing how to make the reads based on how the defense is defending us will continue to work on. But the groundwork is there. You know, I think we saw that right away. We have a group that's not afraid and will compete with anybody.
I'm not going to challenge you on the youth thing because you are the almost head coach at Duke, John Shire. But isn't this kind of an older team than you've had in the past? Yes, Paulo and Trevor and AJ are all freshmen and they're going to play big roles. But you've got a second-year point guard. Wendell Moore Jr. He's a junior. You've got seniors and grad seniors, even though they're first year in the program. So it does seem like you've got enough veteran mix in there to kind of mitigate maybe some of the freshman growing pains.
Well, when I say youth, you know, our starting lineup has never played one game in an NCAA.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the things we feel very fortunate of, to your point, the balance in the combination that we have, we feel like is a championship caliber roster, because you do need some experience. And so getting a Theo John, I think you saw in that game, he comes off the bench.
Gosh.
And he gives a huge boost, you know, with his physical presence. He's been in many games in Madison Square Garden playing the Big East. So that helps a lot. I mean, Wendell, what he's gone through the last 2 years, that helps. We still don't have the experience together where we played in tournament games together before or that kind of thing. So when I say youth, that's what I mean by that.
Yeah, 2 years, no NCAA tournament. 1 year, the entire tournament was gone. Last year was just a bananas year altogether. Is there a video camera around you and the program every minute of every day?
No, there's not. There's not. You know, Coach has been very clear that he didn't want this to be where it's there's any distractions or anything about, you know, his this season. And so we've been, you know, very conscious to, of course, we got some cameras around from time to time because there are some special moments we want to capture, but okay. It has not been too much.
Yeah, use senior season. I haven't copyrighted it or anything. I think it's the best way to look at it. And I have one more question for John Shire. I've never really understood why coaches get all suited up for games. These gyms are hot. It can be uncomfortable. But you guys sure have spent a lot of money on clothing that it doesn't seem like you're going to need now. I don't know if this is the future of coaching and attire on the sidelines. Who's the most bummed about, you know, wearing polos and slacks on the sidelines?
You know, I would say definitely not me. I'll tell you that much. If I have any say going forward, you know, I want to continue this trend. I would say Chris Carroll was a little bummed.
Really?
He went out and got himself some nice suits. And, you know, on our team picture, he was the one guy who said we should wear suits, even though we weren't going to wear them in games. So I would say that, you know, Chris Carroll, well, you should talk to him sometime and check on him and make sure he's okay.
Yeah, he is a gem, man. I would have thought the answer would have been Nolan, because Nolan's got some jackets, man.
He's very sharp when it comes to his fits, but Nolan is a guy who is definitely on the train of going not the suit route, you know, going with the slacks and the warm-ups that we have now.
Incredible stuff. Hey, I thank you very much. It was fun to watch you guys on the court, man. It was eye-opening for a lot of people who have not seen this type of Duke team in a few years, but it should be a lot of fun all year. John, I hope we can talk very soon. Good luck the rest of the way. Happy Veterans Day to everybody over there as well.
Adam, thanks so much. Best to you. Thanks for having me.
Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast, joins us now for a few minutes. What do I make of this, Julian? Have they basically just said that everything we have done for the last 2 years was stupid and we have no plan? Let's bring Cam Newton back.
Well, Matt Rhule said yesterday, Adam, that they were going to explore every single option out there in the free agent market when it came to quarterbacks, or even guys who were on practice squad rosters, like we saw Matt Barkley, who they signed the other day, which pretty much pointed to Sam Darnold was going to be out for a couple of weeks. Now, we did not know that it was going to lead to Cam Newton signing here, but the Panthers understood that the best option for them moving forward, if they were going to try and salvage a 4-5 season where they have a top two defense and they have skill position players like DJ Moore, who's fallen off a cliff here recently because of the inability to throw the football, and Robbie Anderson's been a non-factor, McCaffrey's back, that they were going to try to get the most out of this team this year, the best option for them was going to sign Cam Newton and hope that he could be the guy that they saw at least maybe last year and years prior as the best quarterback option for them. They knew who PJ Walker was. They saw him last year against Detroit where the team won. They didn't give up a single point, but he threw two red zone interceptions. Later on last season when he came in relief of New Orleans for Teddy Bridgewater in the Saints game, he also threw two red zone interceptions. PJ Walker has not been convincing in relief of Sam Darnold against the Giants this year or against the Falcons. So they knew what they had in PJ Walker, like you were saying. They know that they cannot win with him over the next 8 weeks of the season and hope to be a playoff team in a very weak NFC, which is wide open when it comes to the 6 and 7 spots there in the wild card. So why not give Cam Newton a try? See if he works out. He's the best option available. Hopefully he's going to be good enough. Who knows? But you might as well give him a try instead of going out there with PJ Walker, who we all know was not going to be good enough to lead the Carolina Panthers for the next 8 weeks this season.
Was Cam on somebody's roster yesterday?
No, he wasn't. And that's not, and you're not giving, it's not a bad point at all. And like I said this the other day to Panther fans, and I know I'm going to get freezing cold take. And I've told people on the podcast the last couple of weeks who've asked me, is Cam going to come back? And I told them, I just don't see that happening. It's not going to happen. Move on. The Panthers made their decision in evaluating him a year and a half ago, said that they wanted to move on. And I honestly, at the time, I didn't like it, but I understood it in a way. You have a brand new head coach in Matt Rhule, a new owner who inherited the quarterback there in David Tepper. So it makes sense that now they want to kind of rebrand and re-image the Carolina Panthers into their own liking. In doing that without Cam Newton would make sense for them. And Cam also had the injury issues, and they know the medical is far better than we do in the media and the public does. So they decided to move on and got Teddy Bridgewater, which after a year they bailed on. And if for whatever reason thought Sam Darnold could be a reclamation project and could be good. But that hasn't worked out. Is Cam going to be better than either one of those guys? Certainly he's got to be better than PJ. And I can't imagine he's going to be any worse than what Darnold's been so far this year. Is that good enough to get the Carolina Panthers to the playoffs? I mean, we'll have to wait and see what happens either if he plays on Sunday or next week when Ron Rivera comes back to town with the Washington football team. But yeah, Cam has not been anyone's wanted. His vaccination status probably played a factor into that early in the season. We found out a couple weeks ago when Seattle had Russell Wilson go down where they were kind of talking to him that he eventually did get vaccinated and he was available to be signed. But yeah, we're week 10 of the NFL season and no team had signed him until today. So you wonder just exactly how the NFL feels about him. But the Carolina Panthers know that this is their best option if they want to have any chance of salvaging the rest of the season.
Yeah. I wish I knew I think we have, there are a lot of things working here. One, is it a season really worth salvaging? The Cam Newton that we have seen since the injury in 2018, the injury he suffered in Pittsburgh that Thursday night, which completely altered the last, six games of his season, and then we had the Kyle Allen, Taylor Heineke show at the end of that year. That Cam Newton and then the 2019 foot debacle season, that Cam Newton was great until the injury. So if we were getting that Cam Newton, then I'd be all about this. But the Cam Newton we have seen since then has limited arm strength. And when Cam doesn't have that arm strength, he has not been able to retrain himself to be a different quarterback. On top of the fact that, as you get a little bit older and you're not quite as fast as you used to be, he becomes a little less elusive. Plus, he's always been sort of a fullback type runner anyway, not a somebody who can Kyler Murray or Lamar Jackson or even Josh Allen the field. I just don't see how this is ending any way other than badly.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, too. You bring him back, and what happens if he plays poorly, like you bring up there? Like, then Panther fans have to go through yet another painful breakup. And then what if he plays well and he says to stick it to Tepper and Rhule? Yeah, I'm out of here, guys. Thanks for come back in my career. I'm going to go somewhere else. It's a valid point to bring up that this could go wrong and the Panther fans could end up getting hurt again. But you bring up also the fact of what's there to salvage? Look at this defense in the eyes. Like these guys, like Stephon Gilmore, he's going to be a free agent after this year.
Right.
he's from the area. He has a house here, but that does not mean that he's going to stick here with the Carolina Panthers for the final 3 or 4 years of his career. He's going to look at this team and evaluate the entire situation and whether he wants to be back here. Hassan Reddick might have played for Matt Rhule and Phil Snow back in college at Temple, but he's got 8.5 sacks. He had 12 and a half last year. That's 20 sacks over his last, 25 games?
Yeah.
The dude's ready to get paid. Yep. Does he want to get paid here in Carolina if they don't have a quarterback? I know players at the very least seem to respect him and think he still has the ability on the outside, whether it's the media or fans. Like, they're certainly divided in what they believe Cam can and cannot do. But if the players actually believe in him and giving this defense an opportunity to have someone out there who they think can actually get the job done, because they can sit up there all the time and sit there and say that Sam Darnold, they believe in him. Stephon Gilmore, who played for the Patriots, there's no way he has any respect for Sam Darnold as a quarterback. And he can say the same thing about P.J. Walker. There's no way those guys really felt that P.J. Walker was going to be their best option moving forward the last 8 weeks of the season. They have a relationship with Cam. Not all of them do, because there's been a ton of roster turnover over the last couple of years since Rhule got here. But at the very least, you got to think that those guys on that sideline have a lot more faith in what Cam potentially could do just based off of what he's done in the past than what either Sam Darnold, Matt Barkley, or P.J. Walker would have been able to muster over the next 8 weeks of the season.
I'm going to ask you one quick question about the offense before we have to say goodbye to Julian Council. But here's the thing about it is that we know Cam in a locker room. He might be polarizing out of it, but he's not polarizing in it. His teammates in New England loved Cam Newton.
Yes.
Didn't work out there, obviously. And in Carolina, teammates loved Cam Newton. All the stuff that people said about Cam, players wanted him to work hard. Nah, Cam worked hard. That had nothing to do with anything other than outside perception. Inside those locker room walls, Cam was a beloved player and a leader. Now, Matt Rhule has said that he's wanted to be a running team.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to go full bore at running team, you do a lot of zone read with Cam, since they have nothing invested in him at all. They can do a bunch of zone read with Cam if they want and open up the running game, because with Cam, it's a different animal.
No, absolutely. And you saw last year in New England, like, objectively, he was average. Like, he wasn't great. He wasn't Cam of old. And
No. The
Patriots so thought so highly of him that they drafted another quarterback and then replaced Cam with that quarterback during the preseason. Now, his vaccination status and missing those 5 days certainly played a factor in that. But if what the New England media was saying, that Cam and Mac Jones are basically the even throughout the camp, you're obviously going to take the guy that you drafted in the first round over the guy who you have pretty much no investment in past that season. So, yeah, if Cam Newton can go out there and run the football like he did last year, we had 12 total touchdowns. And adding McCaffrey back in this offense, what Chuba Hubbard's been able to provide, and same with Amir Abdullah, you got a pretty good threat in the backfield. But for me, and I know the passing and the arm strength is certainly a concern, and I don't really know where he is physically when it comes to that right shoulder that has had a ton of issues, and why the main reason he's not here, he wasn't here in Carolina over the last 18 months or so. I just wonder if maybe you can see DJ Moore start being incorporated in this offense again, and Robbie Anderson, maybe he can wake up, because Cam was all about the deep ball earlier in his career. And you go back to 2015 when he had Ted Ginn Jr. and that offense was the number one offense in the league. Like, if Robbie Anderson can awaken from his slumber, and also just Darnold looking only at DJ and trying to dump it off to Christian McCaffrey, that could add another element to the offense that they just haven't had over the last couple weeks. But at the end of the day, like, if they want to run the football, that's all great and that's all good and well, but you're not doing that against Buffalo. You're not doing that against Tampa. You're probably not going to do it on Sunday against Arizona. You got to be able to win by throwing the football. And Sam Darnold was just not someone you could trust with that and his decision-making, and maybe Cam can add that element while also being an imposing threat in the run game, which he's always been throughout his 10-year career.
Julian Council, Locked On Panthers podcast. You know who this is really good for? You and me.
Me.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Good for us, man. Congratulations to you.
Congratulations to you, Adam. Hey, and Mike White's back starting for the Jets. Adam, go back on there.
Top five quarterback all time. Top five quarterback of all time. I can't wait to see Mike White. I can't believe the Jets are not favored by 2 touchdowns over Buffalo as opposed to being 2 touchdown underdogs. That is stealing money. All right, Julian.
Mike White's going to win, man. He's going to get it done for you. Go back to the
Jets. I'm not a Jets fan.
Yeah,
no.
Aaron Rodgers, he left you. He abandoned you last week. Come on.
He lied to me. I lost his trust. He lost my trust. Julian, you're the best, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
You've been listening to the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Adam to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. Or you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.